This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Atmosphere over our nation in the recent days have been turbulent. The transactions in the trading floors for mastery, for control, for dominance is at its peak. And this is where God triumphs by an outstretched arm, by a strong hand. Can we release His outstretched arm over Nigeria? His strong arm over the landscape. Treading floors in darkness, trading floors in light, agitated interests and transactions, taking advantage of powers of princes in the spirit to wield the influence in the world of men. Is it not written that by a strong hand, by an outstretched arm, you brought liberty to your people? And so we seek intervention one more time. Someone cry to Him, cry, 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 cry to Him. We call upon your name concerning Nigeria. And we ask that you stretch forth your hand afresh over the nation. Bring deliverance. Bring salvation. Glorify yourself. Now, can the choir help us with that song? To come and manifest yourself in the affairs of Nigeria in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Can you welcome someone to the house of God? Yes, it was a powerful weekend in the city of Kaduna. Amen. Very powerful weekend, and we thank God for what he accomplished in that city. But we left our Bible study to go to Kaduna. So we need to trace our route back to where we stopped. We were discussing the second domain of spiritual warfare, having treated the first domain, which is the mind. That is the primary domain. We have moved into the second domain, which is the realm of the body. Satan desires to break your body. He desires to puncture your body, to take advantage of your body. And one of the reasons why he will not relent until he gets a foothold on your body is because if your body is afflicted, then there is an open door to your mind. The cheapest way to inflict your mind is to have an infirmity in your body. So Satan would like to have a handle of control over your life by an affliction. If you discover that your blood pressure, for instance, is on the high side, anytime you check it on your machine, Satan finds occasion to speak into your ears and preach a message about your lifespan to you. And if he continues doing it and you don't know what to do, you are likely to give in, and his exaggerations will form the influence that will determine how your life will go. Many people that died did not die because it was their time. They died because they gave up. And what it means to give up is that you were overwhelmed and you had to give in, and the flood of the wind, the wheel of Satan, began to find expression. So Satan wants to strike your body. And that's the reason why you will need to go the way of bodily exercise once and again to keep your body in good shape. And there are many ways to fight back when you notice that your body is under attack. I'd like us to, first of all, capture the golden premise that reveals the victory that Jesus has won concerning the state of our body. I don't intend to dwell here for so long because we'll be talking about this aspect subsequently, much more elaborately. All right, go with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. I'd like us to pick a scripture quickly to take our bearing so that you can see the basis of our faith in what Jesus did on the cross. Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form, nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and afflicted of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely. So we have come to the word surely. Most assuredly. There are a few times in scripture where you'll find Jesus using the word surely. When you find that word in the Bible, it means it is not subject to contradiction. Surely. What has he done? He has borne our griefs. Surely. What has he done? He has carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So he shows us spiritual currency. This is spiritual Bitcoin. He had borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Can you give me the next verse, please? But he was wounded for our transgression. This Bitcoin. There's a difference between money and currency. But what we have in this scripture is currency. Just like Bitcoin is not money, it is what? You are not here. So, you know what we agreed. If I'm teaching and you are not following, we will cut. We adjust the syllabus. Okay, we have people online. All right, it will not be fair. Let's try again. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. It's currency. Like I said, there's a difference between money and currency. What's the difference? You can use Bitcoin in Dubai. You can use Bitcoin to pay for your hotel bill. You can use Bitcoin to pay for your meal in a restaurant. But the thing about currency is that it is liquid. You can change it to money easily. So it's like money in liquid state, money in gaseous state. If you want to condense it to become money, you can actually do so. You can accomplish that. So the Bible says that he was wounded. His wounds were not in vain. It translated to currency that you can transact with in the spirit. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, but for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. Currency. Let's try again. The wounds were currency that blotted out the stronghold of our transgressions. The bruises were currency that blotted out what? The grounds and the arguments that were anchored upon our iniquities. The chastisement was payment in the spirit for peace. And his stripes were payments that were made for our health. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. There are a few things about healing that I need to make known to us, because I have said that Satan is going to fight your body. Once upon a time, we were doing a fast. That was many years ago. We were still in the process of birthing this ministry, and we took a fast. I think I just got married not too long ago, so I was trying to adapt to married life. Amen. I say amen. All right, so we were in this prayer. I don't know for how long we were determined to fast and to pray. I guess it was for a very long time. And in the midst of the fasting, I just realized that there was something wrong with my lungs. And this thing that was wrong with my lungs was so wrong that if we wanted to pray, I had great pain on my lungs. But if I was not praying, I could get by. When I finished the permutation, I realized that it was an attack on my prayer life. So I discovered that I could pray for 30 minutes without pain. So what I did was, I'll go for 30 minutes, then I'll keep quiet. The next time I try, I want to go more than 30 minutes. I went for 45 minutes before the pain came. Next time I tried, I said, I want to go for 1 hour. I went for 1 hour before the pain came. Hallelujah. You know what? I was gaining more ground. I was recovering my lungs. He saw the potential of our prayer, what it will achieve if we are successful. And so what he did was that he came and struck me on the lungs, waiting for me to give him permission for him to establish that sickness on my lungs permanently. But you see, I had to invoke the power of this currency. There is no way you can fight for the domain of your healing without an understanding of the scriptures in the Bible that guarantee your healing. In fact, you might find it difficult to function effectively as a healing minister if you yourself have not been armed with scriptures to do warfare for your own personal healing. So I started noticing improvement in my ability to sustain the prayers, and by the next week, I was back to form. The demon knew that there was no space, no place to accommodate him in my enterprise. I'd invoked the power of that scripture that says that with his stripes, we were healed. First of all, this is a communal solution, not a personal solution. He solved it. He solved the problem on the community level. Secondly, healing is in the past tense here. It means it's accomplished. And no matter how you like something, you don't pay for it twice. So he paid before. I don't need to pay anymore. And I held my ground there. And I was not stopping the prayer to accommodate the pain. Right? I continued with what I should be doing if I'm okay. That's how to fight sickness. Satan wants to put you on the bed. Make sure you're not there. The first 2 days, you will struggle. The third day, the healing power of God that you are making demand on, you will cash a deposit from that account in the spirit. When you yield to it, it will take you over. It will take the grace of God for you to rise. Hallelujah. Now, many of you don't know that preaching like this is stressful. Now, I know you don't know. You just say, oh, these things, our pastor knows how to do it. Hallelujah. Now, when you begin to disciple people, preach for 80 days straight, you will need Jesus' help. That's when you will know. 80 days, you go and you talk for 2 hours. You go back home. You pray, prepare, you go back, you preach. 80 days, 80. When you do it, Satan will attack your body. Except you know that he was wounded for our transgressions. We did 17 times 2. Not 2. 17. I think 8 flights we did Ethiopian Airways. That's 4 flights in one. 8 times 4. 32. Okay. So, 8 minus 17 is what? What? Is what? 8 minus 17 is? 17 minus 8 is 9. Okay, 9 times 2 is what? 18. 18 plus 32. That's how many international flights we were on last year. 50. If you make that trip, especially if you are traveling against time, you are traveling into the past, you will arrive there without your waist. Oh, Jesus. When you are, I'm not talking of local flights. We did, how many local flights? Okay, only Philip can. 64 local flights, 50 international flights. And I never broke down once. You know why? I know this scripture. He was wounded for a transgression. Satan was looking for how to. There was one of those meetings we went for. We did so much deliverance. Satan, a wind of affliction came upon me. I didn't sleep that night. I had to take advantage of this scripture. For he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Before I start such warfare, I will be quoting the scripture until my heart believes it. Until I become one with that scripture. And anything other than the promise that that scripture holds, we cannot be a place where I can settle. When Satan sees you in that way, he will give you room. He wants to find any time you stress your body so that he can put sickness. He wants to find any time you are in terrible depression or there is something sorrowful around you that touches your soul so that he can put sickness. He can shoot an arrow through your body. He's waiting for when you are weak in order for him to strike with his best. But always remember, just in case you don't remember any other healing scripture, he was wounded. This one lives with me forever for our transgressions. You arrive many places, your waste is yet to come. Just like maybe you travel with a traveling bag and then they route the bag to America. You have to wait for it. As much as you are resting, using the gym, you just know you are not okay. You are not okay. Something is missing. The waste has not come. So you need to, oh my God, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. I do this kind of warfare regularly. And with his stripes, we were here. Some of the times you saw me sit here or stand here to preach to you, you never know in the condition that I was standing. I remember I went to preach to the Bible school students some time ago, and they did not know that I was blind. They did not know. As I was talking, my sight left me, and I was completely blind. The way I knew myself was to hold the pulpit. I was still speaking when my sight came back. When the doctors came to check me, their instrument suggested that I had died. I was dead. That is. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's how we fight. The symptoms will come. Satan will bring symptoms. Sometimes he will shoot arrows into your body. You will feel pain. And then the Holy Ghost will witness to you. Don't discuss the pain. So even though my wife is there, she wants to know if I'm okay, if there's a place for her to massage. I know that if I discuss that pain, it's become mine. He was wounded for our transgressions. Do you believe it? So we fight so that Satan will not overtake the domain of our body. He wants to do it because he wants to immobilize you. He wants to do it because that's the shortcut for him to get access to your mind. You built a barricade of the word of God around your mind, and it's impossible for him to reach your mind, so he needs to reach your body. So that if he brings something as tangible as pain, you will consider it as reality. And you give him access to your mind. Then he begins to play the piano of your mind using his thoughts. And when you think that those thoughts are your thoughts and you become at home with it, you begin to build your philosophy on the strength of the wisdom that the thoughts are predicting. You're already gone. And that's why the only way we can find liberty is when you subject yourself to the atmosphere of the word of God. It is the word of God that can rebuke those thoughts. It's the word of God that can shine into your head. And then you realize that the position that you have sustained, unknown to you, is a departure from the word of God. Without the word of God, some of us will be serving idols and will think we are serving God. Because our departures are so gradual that you don't know when you trespass the boundary. It is the word of God that comes to unveil your state. It shines into you like light and brings you back to the plumb line. So again and again, you must be a warrior that is set over the territorial integrity of your body. And you must insist that it be not violated. A man drove his car to the hospital for checkup. It's not as if there was any sign that he was sick. He just drove his car to the hospital. And then, you know, the doctors, they studied for 6 years. They must be saying something. If you go now, they'll write something, 18 letters, and say that's the name of your condition. So he drove himself to the hospital for checkup by himself. He woke up, his legs answered, his hands answered. His stomach answered. His head answered. Then he drove to the hospital. And then when they did something, put something on his body, and in fact, right there, they put drip on him and wheeled him. So that's how he became sick. He was not sick. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's how the man became sick. On the third day, he was already sending text messages to his family members as to what to do with the money he had in his account. I had some money in Zenith Bank, and this is the amount. He had never disclosed his account balance, even to his dear wife, all the days of his career. But that day, he sent her a text and said, this is what. He drove himself to the hospital. So when we came to see him in the hospital, I knew that Satan, in fact, Satan was not doing much to keep him there. So we started opening the scriptures to him. And of his own accord, he rose again by himself. Oh my God. Oh my God. He rose by himself and told the doctors he was okay, that they should take these things off him. Take this. They said, take it. Because the realization just came upon him, and then he drove himself back and became well. But for the 3 days he tarried in that place, he has spent 163,000. You know, when Satan plugs in an affliction, then devourers from South Africa, the ones from Namibia, the ones from Mozambique, they all line up for salary. And you are paying. It's not your portion in the name of Jesus. It's not your portion. You will not spend on sickness. You spend on your wedding. You spend on, oh my God. You spend on good things. Not on sickness, not on disease. In Jesus' mighty name. When I was still in the service, there was this scheme that they came up with. They call it a National Health Insurance Scheme. And for 16 years, I never drew from the scheme because I was not sick. They were deducting money from my salary as part of what is required for me to be a partaker of the scheme. For 16 years, there was no need. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't need to fall sick because there is a scheme. May you not need schemes, such schemes. And I know the people from the United Kingdom are listening to me now. And I know you have somebody from the UK, help me. What's NHS? And everybody wants to fall on it. May you not need those services. Thank God it's available. Thank God the government is making effort. But don't drop on that. The scripture you should live on is the one I'm showing you now. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, he were healed. That's a battle scripture. It is accomplished. It's in the past. It's no longer what God is doing. It's what God has done. And no matter how valuable a commodity is, you do not pay for it twice. If Jesus paid for it before, then I cannot pay for it again today. So that's the mindset you must have. And it's with that mindset you rebel against sickness. One of our own was caught up. And when some lumps that came here and there was diagnosed, they took it for histology. And what's the name of this expert in the hospital? The oncologist said it was cancer. All right. We raised seed for this, our own. Raised seed, paid for chemotherapy, but we because, like I told you, the doctors are on Jesus' side. Jesus came to the Satan, the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it what? More abundantly. So The doctors are pro-life, so they are on God's side. Hallelujah. That you go for a checkup and you need to take aspirin or vitamin C is not an act of faithlessness. The doctors, they are on God's side. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. So, yes, the chemo was made available, but beyond that chemo, as this one that I call our own, because I need to make it impossible for you to know the person I'm talking about. I said, well, we release you to go for chemo, but when you are done with chemo, you come back. You might see many people that will go with you that will die. Don't worry about them. You go and what? You see, by training, I'm a chemist and I know a few parameters in the biochemical membrane. And after the first sets of chemo, you will not understand what I'm talking about. But let me use human numbers. There is a certain parameter that is supposed to be from 116 to 100. No, 16 to 27. That's the range of the parameter. I don't want to go deep into it. After the chemo, hers was 212. Now the range is what? 16 to what? 27. And you know the thing about cancer is not that cancer is a sickness that is physiologically. What cancer is that there is a cell that is eating all the food and is not allowing other cells to have food. A greedy cell. So all of the cells that are within the same pathway of life are strangled to death because of the greedy nature of that cell. And it begins to grow beyond, over and above. So you need to kill that cell so that the pathway of life can be restored. That's the layman way of explaining it. But after releasing so much chemo into her body, all of the parameters that are suggestive of alignment in health went haywire. At that point, it had gone spiritual. Satan has stepped in. Because that was not the expectation. That's when you rise up with this scripture and say, he was wounded. You are taking drugs, but you are operating by faith. He was wounded for what? He was bruised for what? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, all our oncologists in this city, after they had finished the full therapy of chemo, they still ran some tests. Some of the, what do I call them? The lumps were resistant to chemo. So they had to refer her to go to for radiology. I think our chemical medical physicists can understand that. Just expose her to radiology. And that also has its own challenges. But she went through all of that. And the experts concluded at the end of the analysis, you are cancer free. Huh? If you refuse to give up this scripture, you will come out from where they kept you. This is the antidote. This is the summary of our hope. This is the fullness of our inheritance that have been delivered to us because that man of Calvary went to the cross to pay for our distress. May you be a fighter that will never retreat and never surrender. Amen. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't belong to demons to take advantage of. Well, that's that. I'm not going to go beyond that, even though it's not exhaustively attended. I want to enter into the third domain quickly, because this is a domain I intend to spend some time. Another domain of warfare, which is the financial domain. The financial domain. Hallelujah. A young man got a concept, an idea. And when he got this idea, he began to implement the idea, and so many people saw the possibilities around the idea and began to buy into the idea. Before we knew it, he had moved from the 1,000 level to the 10,000 level. He had moved from the 10,000 level to the 100,000 level. He had moved from the 100,000 level to the million level. He had moved from the million level to tens of millions. He had moved from tens of millions to hundreds of millions. And he finally arrived at the billion level. A young man. When he arrived at the billion level, and for those of you listening to me online, the currency in question here is the Nigerian Naira. I'm not talking about the British pound, neither am I talking about the United States dollar. Billion in Naira, okay? When he entered into the billion level, he decided to do some works of philanthropy in his village. So he got some engineers and they drew out some schematics on how a few roads can be built, few culverts could be built, just to give the locality a facelift. And when the construction began, the locals began to ask the engineers, who is behind this? And they called his name. I hope you are following me. The moment his name was mentioned, 1 month later, the witches in his village gave an announcement that his wealth has been cut off. He will come back to the village poor, in rags. You see, in witchcraft, there are many departments. During spiritual warfare, the witchcraft community depend on the witchcraft seers to know who to fight, when to retreat, and when to surrender. The seers have the ability to see the warfare within in his spiritual shape. In the witchcraft community, we have such witches that are infantry, that are members of the infantry. And what I mean by that is, those are the ones that they send into churches, send to prayer meetings, prayer groups. Those are witchcraft infantries. Those ones go on the attack. Anything that has the potential to compromise their efforts territorially, the witchcraft infantry are equipped with powers to do damage. So they dispatch the infantry. And I speak with authority because I have seen these operations, and we are still here. Hallelujah. And then we also have witchcraft town criers. The only future that witches can predict, because witchcraft is also into prediction. The only future that witches can predict is the future they create. So they went into the laboratory for 1 month. And after 1 month, they announced the witchcraft town criers came out and said, the wealth of this man has finished. He will come back poor. And the symptoms of the announcement began to find expression. Are you there? I just give you an explanation, an illustration of the fact that warfare affects your finances. Yesterday night, one of our sisters that got married and is no longer with us because he had to go with the husband, gave me a feedback. What was the feedback? The husband's people, they have warned her that she will never prosper. Something happened. I don't want to go into details because I don't even want the person to know that it is I'm talking about. Any Contract she applies for, he bounces back for years now, because the witches have prophesied, you shall not prosper. Spiritual warfare in the financial domain. I will spend more days here than other days, so that you understand the workings of this aspect and know how to rise from the dungeon that Satan has kept you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In order for us to be able to engage warfare at this level effectively, I'd like us to do an executive summary of the gospel of prosperity. Are you with me? Just a summary. All right. Can you turn your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 1 quickly? Genesis chapter 1, can you turn to verse number 26? Genesis chapter 1 verse. Okay, I'm more concerned about 28, and because of our time, I will not be reading additional scriptures, but theologically, it would have been preferable to begin from verse 26, but we are rushing into the verse of interest because of time. And God blessed them. Because of God blessed them, God now said to them, because that blessing there is empowerment. God empowered them, and after empowering them, God now demanded fruitfulness from them, demanded multiplication from them, demanded the ability to replenish the earth from them. He demanded dominion from them. And all of that was hinged upon God bless them. God empowered them. Now, stay with me. I'd like to draw your attention to something quickly. And the reason why I need to draw your attention to it is because of the fall of man. Many of you have read the scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 that reveals that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's the same thing he's doing in the New Testament that he did with Adam in the Old Testament that we just read about. Are you there? So in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible reveals that God has blessed us with spiritual blessings. If you turn, you will find, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I told you that there are two things here that we had to look at very closely. The first thing we need to look at closely is that the blessings are in the heavenly realms. Unfortunately for us, we are on earth, and I am currently in Makurdi, and someone is listening to me there. The person is in London. Another person is listening to me from Belgium. So why is it that God, wanting to give us blessings, decided to domicile them in the heavenly realms? Because I'm not there. I'm in Makurdi. That's where I need the blessings. When we get to heaven, heaven is fully funded. Alright? Fully funded. So I need those resources here now to prosecute my mandate, to prosecute my purpose. And God now decided to put it where? Heaven. Let me explain why. Stay with me. I just came back from Kaduna State, and I had to go to Zaria to see my father in the Lord, to give him reports of what we are doing, and to receive rebukes, if any, to receive counsel, if any, and ultimately to receive prayers and blessing. Hallelujah. the stronger you become, the more you must force yourself to submit. The day you know how to use a sword very well, that's when you need a captain. Because the problem of the kings in scripture was that they became too strong, and the prophets could not restrain them. They entered into folly, and that folly became the basis of their undoing. So I went to see my father in the Lord. So I was in the city of Zaria, and close to the house of our point man, I saw what a governor did in Zaria. People that had COO, 70% retirees, with COO, government COO, suddenly the governor rose up and began to demolish their houses. Some had been building for years. They just packed into the place. And they brought Caterpillar, Christian-owned properties, and destroyed it. They had COO. They went to court and won. Are you there? But no compensations have taken place. Nothing has happened. And my heart broke on seeing that side. That is the reason why God did not put those spiritual blessings on earth. If not, governors like that will come, and through policies like that, they will take it from you. Are you following me? So where did he put them? You need to see houses that were brought down. Then you begin to wonder, what exactly was pushing the man? The man even went to Anglican church that is like 106 years old, where my father-in-law was a choir member before he went to King's College, Lagos, as a young man. See, the ground rent, the occupation of the land has fulfilled the statutory 100 years that is covered by the ground rent. So the government has the right to repossess the land. A monument that is 106 years old. When were you born? So if God were to have put these things in the natural, a governor like that will come and dispossess you of the things that God has given you. So in view of such inconsistencies, God decided to domicile your blessings where? In the heavenly realms. Number two, the Bible also says that even though the blessings are in the heavenly realms, they are in Jesus' account. You know, this one I'm teaching you now, I learned it from one man. This is not my own revelation, but I got it from him. Why is it that it is not in my own account, it's not in Pastor Dan's account, it is in Jesus' account? Why, are we not also children of God? Why didn't he just open my own direct account and release my inheritance into the account so that I can be drawing? Have you thought about it? You know, I explained why. The last time he opened an account for a human being, even Adam, Adam now transferred our resources to Satan through rebellion. Transferred everything through rebellion. Such that when Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan came to tempt him, Satan said, all these glories have been given unto me. This thing you want to come and collect, are you not aware is in my custody? We can negotiate on how you can receive it, if that's what why you are here. Well, I'm open to God. You know, I'm not as bad as you think. We can talk about this thing. we can discuss this matter. How many of you heard the encounter I had with Satan? Finished preaching in Aberdeen, came back to Heathrow to spend the night in Heathrow because my flights were the next evening, the next day evening. So my wife was there to receive me from Aberdeen. She also had a meeting in London. So we were in the room together. She put a hymn, one prayer hymn, at the background so that the sleep will be deep and the place will be sanctified. Lo and behold, in my dream, it was Satan that I saw. And Satan came to negotiate with me. He said, I need your help. You need my help. We are not on the same side. How can I help you? He said, you don't understand this. Okay. I've been building. This is Satan talking to me. Meanwhile, Satan doesn't have horn. The type you saw in Sunday school. He had no horn. He was so fine. He was beautiful, not handsome, beautiful. He had a speck of light that was upon him. He doesn't stammer like me. He's fluid. He just speaks. Oh my God, he can translate his thoughts to words with ease, with grace. And I realized that if you are not 100% devoted to Jesus, you will serve him. He is full of beauty. You will serve him. He is as intelligent as an ancient. The skill with which he brings his points will disarm you. Meanwhile, we're told of a horned guy with a red nose. He said, I need your help. I've been building. But I built a temple. And in order for the temple to be fully functional, I need to activate it through 7 processes. I've done 6, too many 1. And I cannot do the 7th one if you don't help me. I said, but are you not aware that I'm called to destroy what you're building? He said, he knows. We don't need to fight. No, it must not be like that. How do people see me that I'm always fighting? No, I'm refined. I'm okay. Then I rose up, went to ease myself, came back to sleep again. And when I slept, this time he had come, he brought gold. A human being that looks gold, that is a sculpture like a human being. Gold! He brought stuffs like ATM cards. There were like 1,000 of them. But these are asset cards. It can take you to every nation. You can see any president. The influence that this your calling will give you, this will give you. What are you running around? Take. And this gold is all the money you need to spend in your life. If you need more, I have more. We don't need to fight. Then they brought something like a crystal ball. If you accept his proposal, just put your fingerprint on it. It will lick it up. You don't need to change your message. You don't need to change the way you dress. You don't need to change your emphasis. That agreement exists. And your ministry can create the desire that God had called you to create. Are you there? May the Lord give you understanding. So, I told him that it's unfortunate that I'm already bought. You know that the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah came to Abraham to convince him that he should take the goods and give them the souls. Can you see that transaction? Take the goods, give them the souls. And Abraham said, unfortunately for you, before you showed up, I had an encounter and I've lifted up my hands to the Lord Most High, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that I will not take as much as a shoe latchet from you, so that it will not be said that you made Abraham rich. The covenant I have with God guarantees my riches. It is because I am rich that I will refuse your own offer. It's because I'm already covered by covenant that I will refuse your proposal. If it is true that it is divine prosperity you are operating, you will have the, if you know that you have received it from Jehovah, you will have the courage to refuse proposals that come that have the capacity to compromise your alignment with God. I woke up that morning and I told my wife, Satan was here. Let us investigate this, your music. When we invest, because I was suspecting the music. When we went there, it was prayer hymn, prayer hymn. So there was nothing wrong with the music. I said, so we went for breakfast and I was trying to explain, you know, what I could remember. Then we got back to the room. I slept again. And when I slept in the morning, you know, Satan was still there. Then I knew it was not about the time. He was interested in discussing. And three of the times, he couldn't get my attention. I said, this matter, just like in the case of Jesus, his answer to Satan was, let's meet at the cross. I said, where the real transaction takes place. And it was on that cross that Jesus now bought back that which Adam gave out. So God has right to this realm by creation and also by what? Redemption. Don't ever forget that. We don't negotiate with Satan. If you check your entire Bible, you will see that there are only three people that Satan himself came to encounter. Three. Job, Paul, Jesus. Only three people in the entire Bible that Satan himself came to attend to. And all the times that Satan came to attend to them. Are you with me? Two out of the three times that Satan came personally to attend to people, it was not violent. It was a discussion. It was an attempt to negotiate. He wanted to talk. We don't negotiate with Satan. And when we have started spiritual warfare, we don't end it with negotiation. It ends with the wisdom that it takes to implement the will of God. All right? Okay. So, are you with me? Now that Adam had sold us out, God began a work of restoration. This work of restoration began with Abraham. There were mighty men that rose before Abraham found expression. Men like Noah had risen. Great guys like Enoch that walked with God and was translated in bodily form into the eternities above. And God never began any work of redemption from the lives of these great men until the day of Abraham. Abraham's call was an act of God's sovereignty. God had to exercise his will as the creator to bring that man out of the heart of idolatry. Are you still with me? Oh, you're not with me. All right. And what I speak of is in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. I'd like us to see the terms and the conditions surrounding the call of Abraham and the attendant implications that abound thereon. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Let's analyze that scripture. If Abraham should leave his country, that means he goes to the immigration service of his country and asks them to expunge his name from the lexicon of citizens, receive or retrieve his international passport, that anything that ties him to that nation, his NIM, NIM, voter's card, driver's license, submitted all. So I will no longer be known as a citizen of all of the Chaldees. Then during New Yam Festival in the clan, he now goes there and says, I have something to say. He makes an announcement that I'm no longer a part of this clan. Let it be, just imagine that I have died. Then he now visits his father in the night and say, "You used to remember the list, the names of your children that called the first one, called the second one. When they called you, he said, stop, stop. My name is no longer." Right? So he's fatherless. He's clanless. He's what? Countryless. He wanders as a man without an identity on the earth. Because God was the one that wanted to give him his identity by himself. Not any form of identity that is tied to this day or tied to this age. He will get his identity from God. And after asking him to disconnect from everything he had known, he now told him that the place where his destiny will be supported is in a land yonder. And he will show him the direction to that land. But let him start going first. And you know, sometimes we need to explain this thing so that you see the gravity of that. God put Abraham in a situation where he could not operate except by faith. Are you there? He said, "You're going to a land that I will show you," indicative of the fact that the map will be coming in bits and pieces. Every dream he had was going to be part of the map. Every vision, every scripture that popped up on his heart was part of the map. So if you are in that situation, you cannot afford to quarrel with God. Because if you quarrel with God, God will stop giving you visions and then you'll be stranded in the wilderness. You are not following me now. This example that is manifested in the life of Abraham is the description, the prototype of our own story. That all of us sitting here, Abraham fulfilled a type of the destiny of everyone that is in this place. Because Abraham was the pioneer of such men that have trained themselves to believe in God. And it is after the order of his kind of faith that we found God. And that's why we are called believers. It's another way of saying we are of Abraham. Because the way Abraham got the things he got was by faith. Believing that God was not a man that he should lie. God is God has fidelity. He can be trusted. We can submit to him and go to sleep and know that our back is covered. Can you see how much faith was required in this system to launch this new possibility that God had in mind? And it was within the crucible of obedience to this strange call that God revealed to him in verse 2, the consequence of this kind of obedience. He said, "I will make of thee a great nation." The first thing that was supposed to be a result of his obedience was a call to nationhood. When God speaks about nationhood, it will surprise you that he doesn't come to communities and groups. He comes to a man. It will surprise you. He's talking about the deliverance of a people. He won't come to their elders to talk to them. He just call a man out. God uses the most unconventional ways. So the first thing that was in view, in keeping with his obedience, was something about nationhood, God's nation. That God wants to have a nation upon the face of the earth. And it will interest you to know that God did not succeed in having that nation. And that's why we are a holy nation today. We are eventually and ultimately the nation that God was seeking to have in the earth. So what we call the church today forms that nation that belongs to God. Well, I don't want to press that. That was the first thing that was in view. There was a nation that belonged to God that was part of the product of disobedience. Secondly, there was a promise of blessing. And this blessing that we're talking about is in the same level of energy as that which was given to Adam in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 where we read. This Abraham in his own right also is one of the beginners. Every beginner got that heads up empowerment that God gave. You notice eventually Noah was in the capacity of a beginner. and God bequeathed to him the same quality of empowerment that he gave to Adam. It's the same quality of empowerment that is given to Abraham now. So, blessing. If we want to analyze blessing, if we want to trace blessing, we have to trace it comfortably, conveniently to a person called Abraham. If we understand what is going on with Abraham, then you can understand the scope of the commonwealth that is available to you and to me in the new covenant today. Is that clear? Third thing that was in view was greatness. And the greatness was not just little greatness. He said, "We will make your name great." And I don't want to go into that. And then you will now become a blessing. That is what we call a conduit. A conduit. Do you know the meaning of that? Fourth one. God doesn't bless people, he blesses Abraham. Say, okay, there's a blessing on Chibdon's family. That's not theologically true. The person God blesses, just like he blessed Adam, the person he blessed in this new frame of reference, new scheme of things, is Abraham. Now, what the shape of blessing that is within this context right now is based on inheritance. Oh, you're not with me. Are you with me?
Yes,
sir. So I just want us to understand the doctrine of prosperity. Can we? Can we labor? Because I want to do a clean job. It will take us 3 days to open it up. When we open it up, I will now show you where Satan touches. When he wants to disconnect you from your inheritance, there are things he touches. And once you begin to see some symptoms, know that you are under attack. The God of heaven that came and blessed Abraham. For instance, okay, if this one is so difficult for you to understand, you know, I just retired not too long from the oil industry in Nigeria, and I can give you some insight. First insight I can give you is that Nigeria does not have so much oil. Now, what I've said now is shaking you. You don't understand what I mean. I will explain. We don't have so much oil. Meanwhile, the oil that is there will be there till Jesus comes back home. But it's not so much. What we have so much is gas. With compared to gas, we have little oil. The gas we have can heat Europe till Jesus comes back. Are you there? Meanwhile, some oil wells that are 30 years old are still running with the flow rate is still consistent since 1960 something. Meanwhile, the wells of Aberdeen in the United Kingdom are dry. Are you following? You are not following. Did you get that one? Are you aware that the poorest states in this country, inclusive of Kogi State, would I even know if there's a state there? Well, you need the binoculars to check if there's something going on there. Those seemingly poor states are wealthier in terms of mineral resources. Kogi, it will interest you to know that Kogi State is highest on the table of valuable mineral resources. What I'm trying to draw your attention to, you're not following me. Now, I read the facts. I study the facts. I have statistics on my fingertips. The God that created Nigeria never intended that any citizen of this country would be poor. The resources to make every citizen rich came with the package. But we see that there's more poverty where God domiciled the greatest wealth. Can you explain that? Okay, stay there. Let's go back. That's a puzzle for you to think about. That the fact that there are resources doesn't translate to people walking in wealth. Because there's warfare around well. Go and find everywhere there is oil, there is unrest globally. Oh, you are not following. Oh, you are not following. Are you there? There is always warfare around resources. In the natural and in the supernatural. So the golden chicken that is Nigeria that lays golden eggs, the land is parched and dry. I worked in Gombe State for 6 years or thereabout, 5 years. If you are in the restaurant eating, you need to ensure that your frequency of eating is consistent till all the food finishes. So if you are going like this, be moving at that rhythm until there's no food left. Because if you stop and you do like this, Amajiri, you know what they call Amajiri? We assume that you have finished it. So don't drink water. Don't drink water. Just be going like this. Don't talk. Then when you have emptied the whole food, then you can rest and then take. Ask for water. If the moment you, I bought one fish, one big fish. In fact, the eyes on that fish, I had to cast people out because the eyes, they were. I knew that the fish was not safe. That if I eat. The people around spoke in house and said, who is this man buying fish like this? We have not seen poverty. I saw it. You don't need a dictionary in Gombe State to know what poverty is. Poverty is personified on the street like this. Meanwhile, that's a land, that's a nation that was adequately provided for by the great monarch. But you see, warfare will not allow resources enter into your hand, because Satan knows that if he gets there, you are likely to be charitable to the agenda of God. And he needs you immobilized completely. Let's continue in our research. Are you with me now? All right, so let's go back to you. So I'm going to pick one out of these four items. The first item is nationhood. Second item is blessing. The third item is exaltation. And the fourth item is a conduit of blessing. So we'll take blessing. And then we'll go to the New Testament in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And then we'll define what blessing is. Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? Why did he pay that price? So that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ. What is this blessing? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the essence of blessing is the Spirit. So we now understand the secret of the life of Abraham. The Spirit was upon him. The outcome of Abraham's life, even though he found himself in impossible situations that suggested that actualization is a far cry, because his spirit was involved with him, he was able to make, he was never disadvantaged. Is that clear? For instance, the Bible says that the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. The blessings of the Lord are not riches, but the blessings of the Lord can produce riches. And it adds no sorrow to it. See, the blessings of the Lord is in keeping with the promise of receiving the Spirit. So you will notice that when Abraham was sending away his other children, that God did not approve their lineage, their genealogy, in order to fully give Isaac the estate. Abraham gave them gifts, goodies, cars, houses, things to sustain them. But it was unto Isaac he passed the covenant. And what that covenant was passing the influence of the Spirit upon him. So the influence of the Spirit that Isaac had could produce riches, but it was not riches. It is at this point we will need to define what true prosperity is. Because a lot of people have gone in search of things, thinking that things amount to prosperity. You will find out that the greatest custodian of things are people that are not born again. So if our understanding of prosperity ends with things, it is a corrupt view of prosperity, because you don't need to be in Christ in order for you to have access to things. Are you still with me? Now, I'm going to round up with the lecture. I'm going to round up with today's lecture. You know, I need 3 days to talk about prosperity, after which I will now start giving you an insight into the warfare in the domain of your finances. Are you there? Well, let me continue my lecture. As if it gives you more insight, I'll continue with the lecture for a while, and then I'll stop so that we can pray. Okay. Where do we stop there? Galatians chapter 3. So when we say blessing, the substance of blessing is not natural, but it can produce natural results. Can you turn with me quickly? Let's do an analysis in a moment of time. Where are these my scriptures? Okay, let's do Genesis 39, verse 20 to 23. This is talking about Joseph. Still trying to strike a balance so that you will capture the vision of biblical prosperity accurately and leave the chaff behind. The reason why I would take 3 days is because the second day I need to tell you how to prosper with the Holy Ghost. The agency of help that you have at your disposal is a spirit being. Whereas Satan can claim to be able to make you prosper by asking you to bring your first daughter for sacrifice, his own blessing can make you rich, but it will add sorrow to it. The reason is because Satan is not the original spirit that is designed to make people prosper. So he can masquerade as a prosperity spirit, but at the end of the day, his true character will be rubbed off on you. If it's a spirit of barrenness, after you prosper at the expense of your fruitfulness. The true signature of the spirit that is promising you prosperity will be rubbed off on your life. And I've seen a lot of people that have slept in graveyards in order for them to access wealth. I've seen all kinds of things in the line of ministry. I'm not so old in age, but I've been around and I've seen a lot. Hallelujah. Okay. So, in the book of Genesis 39, the character that I want to bring into the spotlight now is Joseph. Are you with me? Joseph. Now, the mantle left Abraham, he moved to Isaac, he moved to Jacob, then he moved to Joseph. So if we study the life of Joseph, you will see that there's a microscope beaming him on his life, revealing to us the true nature of divine prosperity. So begin our reading from the book of Genesis chapter 39 verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Can you underline that? The Lord was with Joseph. This is the Holy Ghost, the spiritual aspect of the life of Joseph that you could not explain by his degrees. You could not explain by anything natural. Because we have established that the promise of the Spirit that we were supposed to receive by faith is the real essence of our blessing. And this guy, Joseph, he was put in the worst situation whatsoever in the land of Egypt. But the difference in his case was that he went to jail with God. Meanwhile, he had an offer to have abandoned God and to have aligned with Potiphar's wife. And if he had slept with Potiphar's wife, because the Bible was silent whether or not they had children, whether or not Potiphar had children. So Joseph was likely to be adopted through the influence of the woman. He would have been given maybe the boy's quarters as his own personal apartment. And while his brethren die in the wilderness, he'll be there sipping yogurt and saying, "We made it." See, but he decided to rather camp with God instead of camping with Potiphar's wife. And he rejected any form of advantage whatsoever that would have come from dating Potiphar's wife. I need to tell you through this story the nature, the ingredients of divine prosperity. First ingredient is called righteousness. If there is no righteousness built into the value chain of what led to your natural wealth or your estate or your status, you may come to church and give a testimony, but it is not divine prosperity. It was procured through filthy means, and God by no means can be glorified by that level of manifestation. First ingredient of divine prosperity is what? Righteousness. I know you may not agree with me, but let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 51. Whenever we want to prove a matter on prosperity, we will need to go back to Abraham. That's our founding father on the subject. We must trace it to Abraham. If we can't trace it to Abraham, what you are speaking is utopian. It is hanging on the air. It has no root. So Isaiah chapter 51. He said, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness." It means this message is not addressed to everybody in our generation. It's not even addressed to every believer. It's addressed to only those that follow after righteousness. "Ye that seek the Lord," he said, "look unto the rock whence ye were are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." That's it. That's idiomatic. He said, "look unto Abraham your father." That means all of you that have passed the original test, the fundamental test. That means you have decided to follow after righteousness. Are you there? That's the first requirement. Before you follow Abraham's example, because you need to look how God brought him out of darkness, brought him out of the land of the devil. Before you begin to consider Abraham's pattern, which is ultimately going to be an illustration of your own pattern, you must be such a person that follows after what? Righteousness. You don't need to sleep with a man for the purpose of sustenance. That is not how God intends to provide for you. Go poor and labor with God, and let your lifting come from heaven. You know, the problem with us is that we do not understand that if you are going to win by righteousness, it's going to take time. It's a process. It's a process. Our philosophy in prosperity became corrupted the moment we wanted to blow on time. That's not God's procedure. If you are winning by righteousness, it's going to take a process. And what God does in this process is that he builds you. It is only men that are built that can handle greatness. If not, the greatness you are praying about will become your undoing. Are you there? You are not there. Somebody came to me and told me he opened up. Can I tell you what he said? He said, our promotion came too quickly. That is in ministry. You are not with me. Oh, you don't like this, my story. He said, our promotion came too quickly. We were not prepared for it. And that promotion is the only curse that we have now. He said, our promotion came too quickly. Huh? We were not prepared for it. That promotion is the only curse that we have now. Because the only outline of prosperity that is in the Bible is winning according to the dictates of righteousness. He said, hearken unto me, all ye that follow after righteousness. It's not for everybody. Ye that what? Follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord. If you are not somebody that seeks God, seeks his face, you don't know priesthood, you don't know prayer, this scripture is not for you. It's not for you. You will see why prosperity can only be exploited by them that seek the Lord. We come as preachers and we make people feel that prosperity is according to keys and buttons. Study your Bible for yourself. You will find out that God did not plan for us to be ignorant. Say, you use keys. And so many keys, they don't teach people how to seek the Lord. You are playing with your destiny. Playing with your life. So there are two basic requirements that you cannot... If the Holy Ghost is the source of your greatness... Are you with me? Is the source of your stature. Is the one that is responsible for introducing you. Is the one that is showcasing you. Huh? You must have passed two requirements. One is that you must follow after righteousness. Desperately. That's your way of oppression. And secondly, you must be a man that seeks the Lord. I will show you the tributaries of prosperity. What avenues does it come from? What are the currencies in which God prospers men? That one is the application. But we have not reached there. Let me show you real prosperity and what prosperity is not. It is rooted in righteousness. He said, look unto the rock from whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Next verse. What's the next verse there? He said, look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone. I isolated him from the civilization he had known. I called him alone. And I blessed him. And I increased him. That's the story of Abraham. He called Abraham alone. What did he do? No support from family. No support from kindred. No support from country. He called him alone. He blessed him. And increased him. And all of that business was between Abraham and God. He's saying that we should look unto Abraham because that's the pattern that he wants to play out in your life. So if you start this mission in a wrong way, by not being one that follows after righteousness, and you believe there are other ways for you to arrive at prosperity, it's not prosperity you saw. It is either materialism or manipulation. And the proof that it is not prosperity that you found is that in the height of your attainment, you have not embraced the way of righteousness. And the pathway to which you wield this, your prosperity, is not consistent with priesthood. Just know that it is not divine prosperity. Because your own example of how you were increased cannot be different from Abraham's example. And Abraham is the father of this matter. We receive by inheritance that which God has done in the life of Abraham already on this matter. So your case cannot produce a different pattern that is different from that which God wrought in the life of Abraham. Did you get it to that point? Yeah. Remember, a man that wants to win by righteousness will win slowly. It is not fast. It takes a process. You will learn how to pray. You'll be tired. You learn how to fast. You'll be weak. You'll be weak. But you say, no, I'm not stopping. I want to know my God. The pathway, this pathway leads to knowing God. When you have now known God, that's when God will teach you how to prosper. Are you there? He will teach you how to prosper. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's wonderful now. It's wonderful. Where did I go the other time? And we just said, Lord, people gathered for us to pray. And then we just began to pray. And I began to talk to the Lord. And the Lord released his angel. And he stood before me, my right hand, like this. And as the angel stood before my right hand, the people I was praying with, they couldn't stand on their feet again. When the people rose on their feet, they were convinced that there was no man of God like me. I was not the one that convinced them. I don't know how they arrived at that conviction, that this is the man. Meanwhile, the Lord just did that, maybe to validate me. All right? So the guy stood up and brought out their treasures. Willingly. In fact, they were pleading for me to. Okay, what's the source of that? That result can be produced anywhere in Ethiopia, in Jamaica, in Zambia. Oh, you don't know what it means to know the Lord. He maketh rich. Oh, you know, for the past 3 years, I've seen the Lord do strange things. You know what? Somebody will just be sick for 8 years. They will take the person to India. Take the person to America. Take the person to England. And the best doctors cannot do anything. And the person will just be relegated like that. Then we are passing. Then we say, okay, there's somebody sick. Sick. Okay, can we pray for the person? No problem. But we went to India. It didn't work. We went to, don't worry. You keep this your story. Keep your story. Then we now went there. We didn't touch the person. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Before I finished praying, the Lord took the sickness. I knew it was God that was with me, that wanted me to shine. Do you understand? It had nothing to do. It was God with you. You don't understand what I'm talking about. And then, you know, those kind of people, when people get healed, they don't just say, okay, I'm relieved. No, they go to the hospital. And then they tested. The test for 4 days. We went to preach. And on our way back, they had confirmed that the person was healed. You don't know the result of that healing. See, did you say you are from Nigeria? Because the news about Nigerians at the head were terrible news. You are from Nigeria. I say, yes. I'm Nigerian. My father is Nigerian. My mother, my wife. And I'm not ashamed to be Nigerian. You know what? If I was not passionate about being a Nigerian, I won't be a Nigerian today. You know why? There was a place I entered. God manifested his glory. And they said, wait, Do you have any intention to be our citizen? I said, I'm Nigerian. I would have let you people seize. Jesus. I'm passionate. There's some, we need to kill something here. There's a beast that we must arrest here. You know the Lord. You know him. Know him. He's a good God. Hey, I went somewhere to preach. I was the youngest minister. The rest were older people with bigger ministries, big names, big guys. And then the small boy just came. I came on the pulpit and I sang a song, Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. And that's how blind people started singing. Jehovah, Jehovah, I cried, Jehovah. A lame woman started walking. I said, Jehovah. I couldn't preach again. Do you know that when I left that stage, miracles were still taking place? They say, who is that man? We were many preachers. Everything changed. If you know what I'm talking about, you will not allow anything to distract you from... The God, the spirit we are working with, he knows where treasures are. But, oh my God. So, I have seen that the Holy Ghost in me produces results. He wants to benefit me too. It's not just other people. He wants to benefit me. I've seen that. So, because I know that the source of what I have is in the Holy Ghost, you can take my car. Come and steal it. If you say, come down... I will leave the car for you. Next year, come. What you will see standing there, you now wonder. So I will come out. They say one man, the armed robbers came with a gun. Say, come out. He said, hey, what are you? They killed him. That's not how we die. I will die with prayer on my lips like this. And I will tell you people 5 years before I go. I will walk away from it. Take. Next year. What you will see there. I'll be thanking God that they took the other one. What I have makes rich. Yes. Yes. If you have what I have, you will not dabble into ungodliness. You will not dabble into corruption. You will not dabble into immorality. No! Because anything that will hurt the Holy Ghost, me, I don't want it. He's been too good to me. So the first litmus test to know if it's prosperity is it rooted in righteousness? If not, forget it. It's a gamble of a smart man. Second litmus test to know if it is prosperity is we need to check if it can survive famine. You see, do you know what they call famine? Famine. Huh. Oh, you don't know famine. Okay. They don't know famine. We'll forget that. It must survive famine. The covenant that Abraham received, the effect of the covenant he received was what was responsible for the restoration of the womb of his wife. The wife was declared barren as a teenager. The wife had entered menopause. And when Jehovah came to introduce himself to Abraham, introduce himself as the strong and as the multi-breasted, the one that can sustain, the one that is strong enough to ward off your enemies. And the first enemy that Abraham had was that his wife was barren. And God, who is omnipotent, had prophesied that it is only the child that comes through this, your barren wife, that I will endorse as your true heir. If you like, go to Lafia, have children. Go to Ogugu, have children. Go to Vandekia, have children. But it is only the child that comes through this woman that you call barren, that my covenant will rest upon. So there was a challenge there. But in order for God to prove that he was indeed the strong, he waited for when Abraham had no sperm. He had become sterile. That was when he showed up. And he reversed sterility He reversed menopause. He reversed barrenness. The excellency of the power of God that operated through the life of Abraham was revealed in reversing sterility, menopause, and barrenness. Think of woes that are stronger than this. Think of it. That's how Jehovah got that name as the strong. In the next generation, when the covenant came upon Isaac, the devil that Isaac had to contend with was called famine. If it is true that you are walking in divine prosperity, we will know when the litmus test of famine hits the land. Because if it is prosperity you are operating in, prosperity should be more brighter when famine comes. If you got yours by manipulation, you got yours by trickery, you got yours by selling black market fuel, when famine comes, it will shave your head. And only the man that has access to the rod of divine prosperity will shine in Goshen in the days of drought. We accepted a beggarly gospel in the name of prosperity, and we don't know that the men that prosper are rooted in God, and they have taken the shape of the Holy Ghost. His culture, his value system, his character, his outlook, his wisdom. Who told you that a carnal believer can prosper by God? No. Because prosperity is stewardship. It is a ministry. There are many people that are crying in this world that God will empower you with resources to blot away their tears. He makes you a father of nations. That's what prosperity does. Families that are helpless, you become their father. You become their support. You become their source. It is not about your own vainglory. It's about the administration and stewardship of the earth. So when famine comes, it comes to test who has the scepter. Men of prosperity prosper more in the times of famine. That's when it becomes more excellent. So that when they shall say that there is a casting down, you will say that there is a lifting up. Part of the things that God wants to do in the year 2023, He wants to release mantles of prosperity so that the dwellers in the wilderness can see a way, rivers can gush up, gush among them that dwell in the desert. Famine. I will give you a scripture. And show us the ancient path, and lead us along the eternal highway. We want to walk in the ways of Jesus. We want to enter your rest. Kumasate Mokoria. I want to leave you with a memory verse. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. Isaiah 58, verse 11. Do not forget this scripture. We were given a cheap prosperity gospel. It's not for babes. For men that have mastered the ways of our King. Oh, those men have known that the source of all things is God, and they will not choose things above God. If you find a man that chooses things, tomorrow we'll go into that. Famine. This is what the Bible says. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. There is always drought. If it is true prosperity, it will be tested by drought. He will satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Something stronger than drought. A spring of water whose waters fail not. The seasons cannot affect it. The time, the drought, the dryness cannot affect it. There is a spring that issues from God. Oh my God. We want to enter your rest. Show us the path. Show us. Lead us along eternal ways. We want to enter. Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. He's talking about you. He said that's how you were designed to be. I will be like a water garden. Can you proclaim those scriptures to yourself? He will satisfy me in drought. For I will be like a water garden. I will be like a water garden. I will be like a spring whose waters fail not. I will not be dependent on the economy. I will not be dependent on season, on times. I will have my own economy. The power to walk on my life will be stronger than drought. Oh my God. If you see it, it is yours. If you can see it, it is yours. If you can see it. The drought of the witchcraft in your family falls short of what it takes to bring you down. The drought of the economy of Nigeria falls short of what it takes to bring you down. For I will be like a water garden. I will be like a water garden, like a spring. Like a spring whose waters fail not. My waters will not fail. The fountain will not fail. The fountain will stand. Sufeta minaita. Kubre satobria. Amata selikon bele. And out of my belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Yeah, yeah. It will flow out of my belly. The drought cannot take hold around my life.
Some living words, some living words.
And you shall be like a watered garden. You shall be like a watered garden. Let every drought give way. There is a spring that the season cannot control. The season cannot command. The season cannot overwhelm. There is a spring. I command that spring to come forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Kofila Hasene in Komansani. Escofe lais conteli momora halate, esico brante cuvanan, asaico belami, asico bresco fateli, asama conde, elia mandali, abrasque tobe sekelamo, onselia, agaselia, amenselia, ico brasco, afile, afalanto, iscababayatos kelimande. This is the good pleasure of the Lord, that you will be like a watered garden, like a spring whose waters fail not. Be like a spring, like a spring, like a spring. Oh God, Iso Sega, Rasiko Bantene, Jeliko Brescatala, choose from among us men that will handle the scepter of kingdom wealth to advance your cause upon the face of the earth. Oh. Oh. Seti kobeza sali. Hala mosa pula kabra na halaye. And as the river flows, take you out of that parched land. Your place is yonder. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Lengthen your cords. Hey, lengthen your tent pegs. Room will be made around your life. Room. More room. Oh God. Who says he akila montaya? Escofila mama yakon. He makes room. He makes room for you in the name of Jesus. And as the river flows,
he begins to bring.
When you get back today, you are going to war. If your life doesn't look like a watered garden, it means we need to rise up. If you cannot find a spring that is stronger than the drought, by which your bones can be made fat, then you need to rise. Oh my God. I sense the glory of God here. Oh my God, I sense the glory here. As a river flows, it's a river that takes a life. You are a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow right here, right now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, lead us by the authority of your staff. Lead us by the skill that is in your right hand. Lead us by all means. Let every one of us become a watered garden. Name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. If you can. If you can't, you can continue ventilating. Things are breaking. Things are... Oh my God. Oh my God.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.